RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV. And by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com.
And by Good Sam Auto and RV Club. Start saving today at goodsam.com/RV Family Travel Atlas. And by Go RVing. Find your way at GoRVing.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about adding thematic trips into your RV travel plans. We all know that Glacier National Park is a must-see for any RV traveler. But what about the lighthouses of coastal Washington or the Civil War battlefields of the East? Theme trips are a fun way to explore our country's history and culture, so we are going to help you start planning.
Plus, we will recommend some series of books that will help you and your kids get ready for any RV getaway. Learning more about a region or topic before you travel will get everyone excited about an upcoming trip. Listen to hear our top picks for building a little background.
You might think it's all about destination travel at RVFTA, but we know that themed RV trips can uncover some of the best travel experiences this country has to offer. You are listening to episode number 86, Planning Thematic RV Vacations.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, planning thematic RV vacations, it's time for our RVFTA News Roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Progressive Insurance.
You can stay protected with emergency expense, which is automatically included with your Progressive RV comp and collision coverage. Progressive will pay for temporary expenses, transportation, and towing if your RV is damaged more than 50 miles from home. To learn more, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV.
Big thanks to Progressive. And we have a Teespring campaign going on for a t-shirt you designed with Mother's Day in mind. So why don't you tell everybody about this fancy t-shirt?
Yeah, for any of our guys who are looking for that good Mother's Day present, this is it, okay? For your mom camper in your life, right? So I put up their tanks. It's like a tank top, so it's a little different than the t-shirts that we've done in the past, just to give you a little variety. And it says, I raise my kids on love and camping. And it has our really cool matte brass logo, but I changed up the colors and made them a little like girly and everything just
now,
for fun.
A lot of you dads out there, if you don't buy this t-shirt, you're going to mess up. You're going to forget.
Well, I'll put the link to it in the show notes and you can go and you can look at the tank. But know that you have to do this now because I closed the Teespring campaign early so that the shipping would be done and there for you in time for Mother's Day.
So we've taken care of everything for you.
Yeah, you just
dads,
have to
plunk down your hard-earned money for a t-shirt. And Teespring does good quality t-shirts as well. We've been happy with their product in the past. Okay, let's catch up with the rest of the RVFTA podcast network. So on Girl Camper this past week, she had a great destination piece on Wichita, Kansas. What did she discover there?
Well, she went there for a weekend, and she just had a phenomenal time. This is Janine. I'm calling her she. My grandmother would say, who's she, the cat's mother? All right, so Janine had a great time in Wichita, Kansas. And so she did a destination piece on her podcast, which, of course, we always love. Yes, we're RVers. Yes, we're campers, but we are travelers at heart, and we always love to give another destination that might not already be on your list.
Janine's not the cat's mother. She's the cat's meow.
No, she is the cat's meow. All right. Now, on Campground of the Week, the Vandy Vagabonds are back, and they gave us a review of the Lake Norman Motor Coach Resort in North Carolina. And the reason why I thought this was perfect for this week is because they talk about all of the NASCAR stuff in the area. And if you were looking to plan a NASCAR-themed trip like we're talking about this week, this would be a great place to stay.
Now, I'm going to confess, and I may isolate some of our fans. I'm not a NASCAR fan, and I would never have wanted to plan a NASCAR-themed trip. But after hearing their review of the campground and their subsequent rundown of all the NASCAR-themed things in the area, I thought, this is an amazing slice of Americana, and I would enjoy this trip.
That's because we like learning about new things, even if it's not like our own hobby. It's just interesting, right? It's always interesting. And the Vandy Vagabonds did describe they had no NASCAR background either, right, and they just enjoyed going to the shops and seeing the cars and learning about it. So
I'm a lifelong learner. Are you?
I am.
All right. So, Stephanie, what's our forum thread of the week this week? This is going back a little bit, but it's one that just keeps kind of popping back up because people keep commenting on it.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite threads over there. I always like to pick threads that like captured my imagination and that I thought was really interesting. And Gretchen, I have to say, is really good at these. She always like, you know, starts, Gretchen from Georgia always starts threads that I find very interesting. So Gretchen, a while back, wrote, in the interest of building up our campground wish list, I'm on the hunt for campgrounds that have something extra fun or unique about them, in addition to just being good campgrounds. Like the campground equivalent of sleeping in a lighthouse or a castle, maybe. It's hard to explain, so here's an example. I found out a while back that the Ingalls Homestead, as in Little House on the Prairie in DeSmet, South Dakota, has a few RV spots in addition to covered wagons that you can sleep in. After hours, you and the other campers have the place to yourselves and can explore the property on your bike or whatever. Then there's the Devil's Tower KOA, where you have a view of Devil's Tower, and then they play Close Encounters of the Third Kind in the outdoor theater every night.
Nice touch.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Then she said, what else should be added to the list? Now, when I first read this blog post, I thought, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Like quirky campgrounds. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of these out there. And I struggled. I was thinking.
I did too. And I feel like a lot of people did because that this one got off to a slow start.
Yeah. So this is exactly what people were writing. I want to follow this thread. I want quirky campgrounds, but I can't think of any. Eventually, I remembered one that we had stayed near up in Maine. Remember the Searsport campground?
Yes.
Where they bring an artist in residence in the summer. And when you stay there, you have access to all these like workshops and classes that the artist in residence.
It's like an artist colony almost, but it's a campground.
Right. So then I was like, oh, yeah, that's one. And then that kind of happened a few times. People would be like, oh, I just remembered this one, or I came across this. Somebody found a working farm. Another person found a campground located near a ghost town. Another person found one near a big cat preserve. So I'm actually reading this forum thread of the week because I want any of our listeners who may have a unique or quirky campground to go to this thread, and I'll link to it in the show notes, and add your quirky or unique campground that we should visit.
And that's a cool thing about the forum too, is this could build up over years where eventually we have hundreds of quirky campgrounds. Now, have you heard of Hip Camp, Stephanie?
Yes.
Because they are creating this whole network of places where you can like reserve sites on farms, or you could reserve sites on you know, vineyards or wineries.
We're going to talk to somebody
on private
from
land.
Hip Camp.
Yeah, so we need to investigate them a little bit more because
Kip, the CEO of Fireside Provisions, he's actually closely aligned with the Hip Camp people. He has been like experiencing that and using that
them
a bit. And we had chatted off air about Hip Camp.
So we need to follow up on that.
And I definitely want to do that because I think it's a really unique thing that's coming
and,
up.
And, you know, some people have said that we have our fingers on the pulse of the RV industry. So we need to put our finger on that one.
Yeah.
Figure out what's going on.
I think you're
there.
The one who says that.
Oh, I thought other people said that about us. Oh, we say that about
I think
ourselves.
We say that.
We have been called an of-the-moment RV
yes,
podcast.
Yes, we can, by one of our favorite podcast listeners.
Yes, definitely. All right, so we'll be back in a second with our featured topic, planning thematic RV vacations.
Stay tuned.
Thank you. Before we head into this week's feature topic, planning thematic RV vacations, we need to give a big welcome to our newest sponsor to the show, to Good Sam. And we have been Good Sam members since the beginning, since we started out on this big RV adventure. So what are some of the reasons why we joined Good Sam 5 or 6 years ago and continually renew our membership?
Well, Good Sam has tons of benefits. And we actually did a show on campground, you know, club memberships
benefits, right.
A while ago. Now, Good Sam has a lot of memberships, but a lot of benefits. But honestly, the reason why we use it the most is the discounts. It's the money.
The 10% discount at Good Sam Parks, we make our money back every year because you just need to stay at one Good Sam Park for a long weekend and you've earned your money back on that $25 membership.
Right. So there's over 2,000 Good Sam RV parks and campgrounds, and you're going to get a 10% off discount at all of those RV parks. Now, you're also going to save on fuel at the Pilot Flying J's, okay? And you're also going to save at Camping World.
And we do have our local Camping World, and I go there all the time, and I save with my Good Sam card, as a matter of fact.
All right.
So, well worth it.
Yeah, you also get free annual 8-point RV inspection, you get free dump station privileges, you get propane discounts, coupons in the mail. We get those coupons from Camping World all the time.
And one of the benefits of membership that they don't even mention that much, you get 3 or 4 issues of either Trailer Life or Motorhome for free with your membership.
And maybe there's an article of ours in that Trailer Life.
Late these days, it's very possible. And in the next year, there's 3 more coming.
Yeah,
so you want to get your Trailer Life subscription and Motorhome too.
All right. So we are really excited to offer our listeners a special offer if they join the Good Sam Club right now, okay?
They got to use the special link.
Right, you have to. So to sign up for membership, go to goodsamclub.com/RV Family Travel Atlas, okay? And for $25, you are going to get a membership, a year's membership.
You'll get a membership card.
And you're going to get a voucher for a free night of camping.
Up to $25. So
yeah.
When you go camp at a Good Sam Park, I think you're going to keep your receipt, you're going to send in the receipt, and you're going to get $25 back.
So that pays for that membership.
For the membership.
Yeah,
25,
done.
You spend 25, then you subtract 25, and it's
free.
Zero. It's free.
We're really happy about
honestly,
that
that's
offer.
That's how we've always felt about the Good Sam card, is it pays for itself.
Yeah. All right. So welcome, Good Sam.
Welcome
happy to have
to
you
the
on
show,
board.
Good Sam.
So now it's time to dive into our feature topic, which is planning a thematic RV vacation. And this can be a little tricky for people because, you know, we're used to picking a destination that we want to go to, right? RVers are like, oh, I want to go see Yellowstone. Stone.
And then everything else unfolds from that decision.
Yeah. You think, where am I going to stop along the way? What are we going to see when we get there? Easy peasy. We're good at that. Thematic trips can be a little overwhelming because you think, where do I start? How do I start my planning? How do I even choose a theme?
And are there campgrounds near the places I would want to go?
Yeah. So we're going to walk everybody like soup to nuts through that. And we did this in our book. We planned some great thematic trips. And that's what got this episode started in our minds.
Yeah. Our editors at Penguin Random House said, hey, we want some chapters on thematic trips. So it forced us to kind of think in a new way. And we're really excited to do some great thematic trips.
Yeah. We loved it. So here's where you're going to start. How do you choose what thematic trip to go on?
First thing, something you love, a hobby. Or do you love surfing? Do you love baseball? Do you love the Civil War? I mean, any interest you have, there's probably a thematic trip that can be drawn up around that interest. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure. Like right now, you're really into your free photography and you're really into developing that. So you could think, well, I want to see some of the most like photographed spots.
Yeah,
in
I mean, if you're going to
area.
Washington State or something like that, I mean, if you're thinking specifically about photography, that might lead you to stay at different places than if you're just trying to see the coastline.
Yeah. So think of a hobby. That's one way. Now, another thing you can do is think of something that you've always wanted to learn more about. So it might not be a hobby of yours. It might not be something you love, but it might be an interest that you've never really explored. So for example, it might be Victorian architecture. Right?
And you could do something like that right here in New Jersey.
Exactly, right? You could go to a town, whatever, you go to an area that has lots of that. It could be ghosts, right? Like
ghost tours.
Ghost tours and go to a place that's really known
for
that. Well,
even for me, like presidential sightseeing, it's not like a hobby of mine learning about the presidents, but God, would I love a trip like that that was based around learning about the United States presidents.
Yeah. And the third thing that you can do is you can think, what do I want to expose my kids to? So sometimes, you know, we stop and we say, hey, you know what? We've got boys, they're this age. What is it that might really spark their curiosity, their love of learning right now where they're at?
Revolutionary War.
Right.
I mean, it's in a sense, it's difficult to teach them about wars, but then at the same time, at their age, they're really interested in that because they're always at war with each other. So they understand the basic concept of war.
They understand the art of war.
Yeah, they understand why people might want to go to war. So, you know, you could do – I mean, if there's a specific time period like the Revolutionary War, there might be a really great thematic trip you could do based around that.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. So you want to start planning. Think of those three things. What do I love? What do I want to learn more about? Or what do I want to expose my kids to? And somewhere in there, you're going to think of a great theme for your trip.
And
okay?
And the planning on a trip like this could be a lot more fun than the planning of a regular RV trip.
Yeah, it really is. So now you've got your theme, all right? Now what are you going to do? Well, you can do themes, I think, in three different ways. And this is what we kind of learned by doing the book and trying to help people plan a thematic trip. We kind of figured out our system for doing it also. And one of the easiest things to do is to just pick one campground near a region that suits that theme.
That's very rich in that theme. So for example, you might want to learn about the RV industry and you'd go to Northern Indiana. Now you could park yourself at one campground, do a manufacturer's tour, visit the RV Hall of Fame, and give yourself an entire history of the RV industry, basically. And you wouldn't need to go to three different campgrounds. There'd be no reason to at all.
Right. It's like a base camp, you know,
a base
way
camp
of doing
for
it.
A region that's rich in some kind of thematic material.
Right. I mentioned the NASCAR theme trip. You could stay at one campground in North Carolina in that area, sort of north of Charlotte, and you could stay there and tour all of those different shops and go to some races and everything like that. So you could stay in one spot.
And that, in that sense, you could do a thematic long weekend.
Oh, sure.
You know, these do not have to be week-long trips,
yeah,
particularly if you're using one base camp, obviously.
And then I was also thinking about Napa, right? You could park your rig somewhere in Napa and do a great winery tour, you know, just every day going to a different winery in that area.
And there might be other things to see and do in that region, but you are focused on your theme. You're trying to get the most out of your theme.
Yeah, you kind of really soak it all up that way. Okay.
And you could also do a few different stops in a region, right? So, for example, if you want to do a battlefield tour, you might want to stay at a few different campgrounds because they're not all going to be clustered together that closely.
No, battlefields tend to be more spread out because they were like marching there, you know,
right,
coming together in different places. So for that, you might want to find like three different spots and three different campgrounds that are located near those spots. And we did that in our book also, like almost like we would look at them like little triangles.
And you don't want to be driving 5 hours in between each stop on a thematic trip. I mean, you want to try to find those clusters or triangles where maybe it's a couple hours apart.
Yeah, maybe. And I also thought that a nice thematic trip with a few different stops could be like urban tours, right? Like I was thinking on the East Coast here, we could start down in D.C.
Baltimore.
And then do Baltimore.
Philly.
Yeah, Philly, New York City, Boston, right? You could kind of like hopscotch up these major cities. And all of those cities do have RV parks.
You definitely have options within half an hour of all of those places, in some cases much closer.
Yeah.
And a lot of us just don't think of like, I can see cities with my RV.
Yeah, you could do that in California too. It's some major cities up the California coast, you know?
In terms of the future of RVing, I would like to see, and I think we will see, a lot more urban RV parks that are located close to mid and large cities.
Yeah. I do think that that's an emerging trend as RVing becomes more of a way of travel as opposed to a way to camp.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
If you could get me right next to Philadelphia, I'd pay $150 a night because I'm going to pay twice that in a hotel.
Oh, yeah. It's easy. You have to do a good –
if it's safe, if it's clean, if it's a decent place, you know, and I think people – campground owners are going to start to realize there's a market for that type of RV travel.
All right. The third way that you can plan one of these thematic trips is to pick a route, okay? So these are these famous road trippy type of of vacations. And what you do is you just do it with your RV. It's more of a point A to Z, right? You're going from one place to another.
And we also want to emphasize, you don't have to do point A to point Z too on these trips. You might just get to do a section of Route 66, a section of the Lincoln Highway, a section of PCH, a section of the Lewis and Clark Trail. You don't always have to do the whole thing.
Right. So you just think of those famous sort of trails in American culture. And then you find a point along that trail to start, and you go along it. You pick as many stops as you want. And then at the end, you know, you might hop off and drive the quick way back home or something like that, right? Okay, so those are the three ways that you can think about planning.
Which way do you prefer, do you think? Because we know as the boys get older and we want to do a lot of these – we really do want to do thematic trips. And I think at a certain point, we'll do one every summer. I really believe that. What method do you think will work best for us?
Yeah, I think we like a few different stops in our
region. I like the middle one too.
That's, I think, our natural. Yeah. And I think that we emphasize that the most in the book because that is sort of, we feel like that really strikes a nice balance. Yeah,
and you can pick up camp in your RV, drive less than an hour to another campground, and you can be in a totally different world. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not like, oh, I was just in the same area. No, I mean, you don't have to go very far for it to feel very different.
Yeah. So now we also have a couple of additional tips, okay, when you are planning a thematic trip. Number one, you have to be willing to compromise on the campground, okay? If you really want to get close to a certain location because it fits with your theme, you're learning something about that spot, you might not be staying at the best campground.
No, we're not saying to go stay at a dump or, you know, some kind of trailer park. And this one is probably the hardest for us because Stephanie and I pride ourselves on finding the best campgrounds to stay at. But, you know, for instance, I really know I want to see Monticello. There's not necessarily an amazing campground right by there, but there are campgrounds. So, you know, if you're going for a theme, it's not about the campground as much as a normal trip. It's about the theme.
And I think that Carrie Cox, was talking about that when she reviewed the Bella Vista Village RV park, right, in Arkansas. She was saying, we want it to be near this location. So we picked a park. You know, she was like, the campground's a little bit like a parking lot, or like her view on the San Francisco RV
base camp.
Resort.
It's a base camp for your adventure.
Yeah, so you have to think about the campground as a base camp sometimes.
Treat yourself to a nice resort with a gorgeous pool on the next trip.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. Like, take a break, yeah, from that. Okay.
All right, so some additional tips. You want to do some pre-education, and you want to immerse yourself in the theme. And really, by that, I think we mean some pre-reading. Like, if you're going to go do a thematic trip on the presidents, read a biography of John Adams, you know, read up on FDR, whatever it might be. It'll enrich the experience 1,000-fold if you're doing some pre-reading, as it were.
Yeah, we do this a lot with our travel, even when we're just going to a region like Maine. You'll want to read like The Lobster Coast or some different books that really bring the culture of the area alive. And if you do that in advance, when you show up, just your eyes are going to take in all the sights through the perspective of the books you read.
And not only that, you're going to notice things, many things that you would not have noticed otherwise. Little details are going to jump to life because you've read about them beforehand, where otherwise your eye would shoot right past them.
Yeah. I've been trying to do this with our South Carolina trip. We're going to the Charleston area. Charleston is so rich in culture and history, and I just want it to have a lot of background in
which
that
is why I ordered a box of books about Charleston from Amazon that showed up the other night.
You ordered things like A Brief History of South Carolina or something.
No,
and it was
book. I ordered a book called A Brief History of Charleston, which is supposed to be really entertaining. It's got great pictures in it. It looks like a lot of fun. It's a light, easy read.
Yeah, you like those
now,
boxes.
I say, and also do that reading while you're there. So have your pre-reading, your reading during the trip, and then even when you get home, you could extend it, you know, to that other book that you didn't get to about the area. And so then a week-long vacation could become a month-long experience.
Yeah, and we're mentioning adult reading, but then we also recommend doing this with your kids. They will be so much more excited about an area if you do a little prep work with them. Like, before we visited Lake Placid and all of the Olympic arena activities, we did some pre-teaching with them about the Olympics and the hockey and like the greatest game ever played, you know, and
the Miracle on Ice. That's a great example. Yeah. You could park yourself at one campground and highly focus your trip on the Olympics and have an amazing amazing trip to Lake Placid without even worrying about doing everything else. Just focus in on learning about the Olympics that week.
Yeah. And that just, I think everybody gets more excited about visiting a place when you do that sort of background building, you know, before you go. And it just kind of brings it all alive.
And look, as teachers, we love an educational trip. I mean, sometimes we love to sit on the beach and just sit on the beach. But you know what? It's really exciting to learn as you're RVing. And it's really one of the great benefits of the RV. I think it makes it easier to do these types of thematic and educational trips.
All right. Now, the last additional tip we have is to sign up for educational tours. We like to emphasize this on RVFTA because honestly, we feel that it is not necessarily what our generation likes to think of themselves as doing, right? Like this, like our generation almost thinks
we're
too cool
for
somebody else to tell us all about a place. Like we can do that just fine on our own and doesn't seem hip, right? But we've really learned through years of traveling that you miss the boat on a lot of stuff when you visit an area if you do not take those tours. Because Brett was talking about touring Dinosaur National Monument with a ranger and how what had just looked like rocks that came alive when
the
ranger was talking about them. And I was like, yes, that's exactly right. You can look at a battlefield and it just looks like grass. But when somebody brings that experience alive for you, it's going to be so interesting.
It's about a willingness to put your trip in the hands of an expert for a short amount of time. And I think something about our generation is not into the idea of the expert teaching us because everything's at the tip of our fingers. The Naval Academy trip was a great example. That tour brought the Naval Academy to life for me and for the boys. Now, our boys are not little angels in general. They were awesome on that tour. And I'm so thankful that our boys are willing to do tours with us.
Yeah. And, you know, and honestly, I can't ever think of a tour that they weren't well behaved on because once somebody is interesting and starts talking, they'll start listening. Like we've done the Center for the Birds of Prey down in South Carolina. That was a really great tour. It was long and it was really scientific and the boys were listening and learning about owls and hawks and vultures. And, you know, we've been on so many tours like that and we just recommend don't be scared to sign up for a tour. Do it. You won't regret it. You have a bad tour. But do your due diligence. If you look at reviews online, tours get good reviews or bad reviews.
I also think that these types of tours are generally affordable entertainment as well. When you add up the ticket price, they make a lot of sense financially.
Yeah. So we really highly recommend
Let's give people a sneak peek at the Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, which, by the way, is going to be published in about a week and a half.
Yeah, May 10th.
So if you haven't pre-ordered your copy, you want to get on that. So here's a list of the thematic trips that we did in the Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. And we think we really came up with some great ones. So we started with a Civil War battlefield tour. And this is one where you obviously have your Civil War buffs. And if you're a Civil War buff and you own an RV, well, you need to do this. But also, even if it's not necessarily an area of interest, I think anyone would enjoy visiting Fredericksburg, visiting Gettysburg.
Yeah. And also, if you don't live near those places, if that's not within striking distance, you can do other versions of this, right? That's what we want to inspire you to think of other versions. You might live near some revolutionary battlefield, or you might live down in Texas where there was like, you know, your Alamo kind of, you know, wars and battles, right? Like there have been so many, or down in, let's say the South, like in Louisiana and everything, right? Where you had the French wars. So there was all these things happening in our history, and there's these kinds of forts, right, everywhere. Go visit them as a theme.
I would like to do a whole book of thematic RV trips, frankly. This was like the kernel for that for me.
Not this summer.
No. The Kentucky Bourbon Trail for the bourbon fans out there, right?
So again, you might not be within striking distance of this bourbon trail, but this is one of my favorite ways to plan a thematic trip. I mentioned wine country.
Food or drink. I could do a coffee trip.
Yeah.
You know, go out to
coffee roasters.
Seattle, go out and visit coffee roasters that I want to visit.
Right. Also food. You could do like barbecue, right? And do some of the most famous
could
barbecue
gain some
spots.
Weight on a thematic trip.
You could do road food tour and do a bunch of Jan Michael Stern.
Book and make a trip out of it.
Yeah.
We also did a chapter on Vermont fall foliage, where we tried to cover a couple different sections of the state that are great for seeing fall foliage.
Yeah. And if you live in other areas of the country where leaves change color, right, and you can go on a foliage trip, what you want to do is you want to research some of those best spots for photography or for train tours or for any of that stuff for fall foliage, and strike out during the fall and see that.
And the RV is the perfect vehicle for chasing fall foliage, because if you have the time and inclination, you could literally chase the foliage in an RV. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could move as the foliage is moving. Yeah, you could follow peak season without reservations, because most of these campgrounds in September and October, you should be able to get into.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. So also we had the Washington Lighthouse Tour. There are quite a few coastlines throughout this country that have lighthouses along them. You could replicate a lighthouse tour. You could do a lighthouse tour in Cape Cod.
You absolutely could.
Lighthouse tour along some of the Great Lakes. Lighthouses. So you could do that kind of a tour.
In the Cape Hatteras region as well.
Yeah, that would be fun. And also, here's another one for the drinking. The Traverse City Craft Brewery Tour. This is just a part of our American culture right now. There's a lot of like craft coffees, craft breweries, you know, and that appeals to me. I like that. So the craft breweries, there's a whole trail of them outside Traverse City. It's a big booming industry there.
And they usually spring up in really kind of cool, hip, fun areas too, you're going to really just be somewhere gorgeous.
Yeah. If you plan your trip around that and hit a few every day, that's fun.
And we did a chapter on Route 66 from Tulsa to Oklahoma City. And remember, you don't have to do all of Route 66. If you don't have I think some people think, oh, I have to have this huge amount of time to do all of the Lincoln Highway or all of Route 66. There's no reason you can't pick a section.
Right, exactly. So those are the examples from our book, and hopefully they'll inspire you to develop some of your own thematic trips. We'd love to hear about any you develop. We will be back in a minute to talk about our bucket list theme trips, where we are going to talk about the next ones that we want to take that
Stephanie
we haven't taken already.
Stephanie and I created a few that we want to go on.
All right, back in a second. Award-winning Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories.
Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds.
And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home.
Visit CampJellystone.com to find a Jellystone Park near you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to go over our thematic bucket list trips. Now, Stephanie and I each created a pretty loose thematic trip that we would like to take. And we also agreed that we wouldn't tell each other what those trips would be, that we're going to surprise each other on air, right?
Well, yeah, but then I just realized I have it in the notes.
Well,
you saw
wrote
mine.
Yours in the show notes.
I just realized
so I am
that.
In a position of power and control right now, because I know what your bucket list trip is, but you don't know what mine is.
I have a guess.
Oh, you got to make the guess.
I think that it's a baseball trip.
No, because I thought that would be too obvious.
Yeah, because you do want to do that.
I was projecting ahead a little bit into the future on my bucket list trip. Now, what's amazing, I'm going to go first. And what's amazing is where my bucket list trip ends, we can start yours. What are the chances?
Really?
So we can combine thematic bucket list trips.
Oh my
I'm
gosh.
Not making this up. So I came up with a thematic surf trip on the California coast. Now, I'm going to need to probably wait about 5 years till the boys are older to do this with me. But I want to take them on an RV surf trip along the coast of California. And I want to start in San Diego. And then I want to go up and do kind of like the Morro Bay area, maybe Santa Barbara, and end up in Santa Cruz.
Ooh, with your really thick wetsuit on, right?
Yeah, with my O'Neill wetsuit, which was they were created in Santa Cruz, California. So if that's my bucket list trip, we could catch our breath And we could basically just start your bucket list trip, which what are the chances? People aren't going to believe us.
All right. So my bucket list trip was a tour of Steinbeck country. All right. Would you have ever guessed that?
I would never have guessed that. And literally from Santa Cruz, we could hop right up to Salinas, correct?
Yeah, it's Salinas.
And Monterey.
Mm-hmm, Monterey. So years and years ago, I think that one of the first, you don't think about travel writing. A lot of people don't think about travel writing when they think about John Steinbeck. But I think in a way, he was really crucial in developing sort of my love of literature that really creates this feel for a place, you know? And I'll never forget reading Cannery Row for the first time and just feeling like these characters and this place that I've never been to came alive in my mind, you know? And it was just a very – I think I was probably in high school still when I read that.
You were probably in fourth grade when you read Cannery Row.
Stephanie
went through the entire classics section at the library. That's when I fell in love with her. Not when she was in fourth grade, but a little bit later.
Oh, we didn't know each other then. So I really love John Steinbeck's, not his big sweeping like novels, which
You're not a Grapes of Wrath girl?
It's fine, but I really love his other books that are a little
the shorter, funnier books. Yeah. Cannery Row, Tortilla Flat. Those are really funny books.
Love
as well.
Tortilla Flat, yeah.
And Travels with Charlie, of course, I think is what you were initially alluding to.
Well, the travel kind of a thing. But Cannery Row, I just feel like it really brought that area of the country to life for me. And so I would love to do an author-themed trip. Now,
Can I come?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't drag the boys on this.
And the Steinbeck Museum is right there in Salinas, right?
Right, in
and
Old Town Salinas.
We drove to it. And we pulled into the parking lot. You don't even remember. We pulled into the parking lot of the Steinbeck Museum. They were closed.
When did I have no?
On one of our trips to California when we were dating, we drove.
We were on our way up to Big Sur? It must have been.
Well, yeah. We were driving along Highway 1 and we drove through wine country a little bit and Carmel. Forgive me if I'm not getting the towns in order.
I remember Mount Carmel,
And this was pre-internet, pre-having internet on the phone, so it's not like we just could check. And we just said, oh, let's go see if it's open. We pulled into the parking lot. We walked out up to the door. They were closed.
I'm desperately trying to even get like a figment of memory on this, and I have it. But that is on my bucket list trip, so I must have remembered not being able to see it. But it is the National Steinbeck Center. Okay. And it is an amazing, museum and center that really houses so much historical and cultural information about the area at the time in the history, too, that Steinbeck wrote about. Then it's right in the middle of Old Town Salinas, California. And there's also the Steinbeck House that you can go to and you can tour and you can eat at a restaurant there. And then there's Monterey Bay Aquarium, which is supposed to be phenomenal. And not just an aquarium like you go and you look at the fishies and everything, but a little more science-based and a little more sort of rooted in the actual marine ecology of the area. And then, of course, there's lots of wineries around there.
So why wouldn't we just end up in San Francisco? So I think that
it's about 100 miles to the north, right?
I think we're really both California dreaming, which surprises me a little bit in terms of what's on the bucket list, because we've been there, done that to some degree. We've been to these places. Sounds like we both want to go back. San Diego to San Francisco. It will combine my thematic surf trip. We'll get to surf at Huntington Beach. That was my little slip there.
Great beach there.
And we'll get to do some surfing in the Morro Bay area, Santa Cruz. And then we'll head up and do Steinbeck country. I'm thrilled about this trip.
I do think it's more of a teenage boy trip. Like, I really feel that this is
at least 12 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, definitely when they're a little bit older. Maybe Wes is 12, the boys are 16, and that would really capture all of their fancy, too, and kind of get them on board.
Yeah, when they're 16, they'll love going on a literary tour of California, going to the Steinbeck House.
You don't know they might.
They'll be reading Grapes of Wrath for fun, because there are kids.
I love that
kids
stuff.
Kids don't
when I was
read
16.
Anymore, silly girl.
Yes,
no,
they
our kids read, actually.
They are going to read because I'm modeling
you
being
are modeling
a reader.
All right. So those were our two thematic trips, and what a coinky dink that they pretty much just could become one big trip. And we're going to.
I can't tell if that's cute or obnoxious. I'm like sitting here turning overhead. Like, was that just cute or obnoxious?
All right, listeners, drop a comment on the forum and let us know if Stephanie and I are cute or obnoxious or some combination of the two. You can give percentages if you want.
Both A and B.
We're going to come back in a second. And we're we're going to give you some ideas for different book series that are going to help you on your thematic trips.
Yeah, I'm putting my teacher hat on, folks.
She's always got her teacher hat on.
Be back in a minute.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are now going to go over some books that are going to help you with your thematic trip planning, and they're just going to help enrich the experience for your entire family. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our good friends at Go RVing.
Yeah, if you love great RVing content as much as you do, then you have to go over and check out The Scenic Route, which is Go RVing's lifestyle blog.
It's the perfect place to read stories, see stunning photography, and discover inspiration from real RVers who have found their way.
Sure looks nice, ditch their corporate life to travel across America, visiting friends, family, and scenic areas of the country, all with a newborn.
Monica Bennett from Just Five More Minutes shares her passion for outdoor adventures and culinary discovery in the Pacific Northwest.
And girl camper Janine Pettit writes profiles of bold and daring women like herself who are hitching up and heading out on their own.
Find your way. Go RVing.
All right. So what I decided to do is, you know, I was in elementary education for many, many years. And there are certain series of books out there that you can almost find a book on like any topic, right, that you might be planning a thematic trip. So, you know, with adults, it's a little easier for us. We want to book on something on South Carolina or somewhere else. You know, we have our Goodreads, we have Amazon, we go in and we search. Sometimes the world of children's books can be a little more sort of overwhelming and it's hard to find the right books for your kids. And, you know, to be quite frank, the library is not always going to have exactly the book you want for your trip.
I think quality varies even more in children's books than adult books.
Yeah, because it's true. There's a lot of stuff that gets churned out in that publishing market. So anyway, what I did was I actually thought back to three different series of books that have always been so popular amongst the kids that I've taught over the years at varying different ages. And I started out with the little guys. And we actually discovered these books when our boys were very young. 1 year old.
Yeah, they loved these books when they were one. I mean, mm-hmm. we probably had about a dozen of these. And
right.
We still do. And now Wesley's starting to look at them.
Yep.
Or has been looking at them.
So this is the Good Night series. Okay. And there are so many of these. They're regional books. They're board books. They're very sturdy. They're great for children 0 to 5. But the nice thing is that older siblings can read to the younger ones, okay? And kind of like even though the book's too young for them, if the older sibling reads to them, they'll be getting kind of ready for the trip also.
And these are fun for mom and dad as well. There are some children's books that we have that are like torture for me to read, like the superhero books. These are just like – these are fun reading for the whole family.
All right. So these books are organized by region – either a state or a city or, say, an area like
Cape
the Jersey
Cod
Shore.
Or the Jersey Shore.
Mm-hmm. You go on, you find the region that you're going to. Go on and type, Good Night, North Carolina. Good Night, Outer Banks.
They have them for mm-hmm. almost every state, I think.
So many. So go ahead and type it in and see if the area that you're going to pops up. Now, what it does is it goes through an entire day in a region. So it'll start, good morning, you know,
Cape Cod.
Yeah, but it'll say things
the
like lighthouse.
The lobster boats are on their way out to sea.
Yeah. It goes through the morning. Then it says, good afternoon, swimmers at the National Seashore, and it'll show people on the beach there. Good night, good evening, and then good night. So it goes through an entire day and shows all of the sort of popular things in that area.
And it shows you places that you're probably going to go on your trip so that when the kids get there, they're going to have a little familiarity with it.
Absolutely. In a very simple way. So if you're going to the Smokies, it's going to talk about the bears, you know, and like it's just going to have those the regional wildlife, the regional tourist attractions, whatever it is that your kid is going to experience. It gives them that pre-teaching.
Now, are you going to do some affiliate links through our Amazon store on our website for these books?
Yes, I will. I will populate some of our favorites from these different series into our Amazon store, and I'll put links in the show notes.
And thank you to everybody who's been using our affiliate store, by the way. So what's next?
All right. So also, if you have children a little bit older, I would say that these are good for grades 1 through 5, okay? So you're going to start out with the Goodnight series if you have little kids, 0 to 5. Then grades 1 to 5, I like the If You Lived series. All right. So say you're going to North Carolina to Cherokee. You could read If You Lived with the Cherokee. All right. And they're great, phenomenal books that are of very high interest for kids. There's If You Grew Up with George Washington. All right. Our boys love that one. And it really, you know, I have that. They've found my nonfiction collection and have been kind of going through it. They have If You Traveled West in a Covered Wagon. They have If You Lived at the Time of the American Revolution. There are so many different ones. So if you're going to a region with any sort of history involved or any, you know, any background knowledge that you want them to have, check out the If You Lived series. It's nonfiction. Great images, though. Highly engaging.
And is the point that it's supposed to develop some historical empathy for the people and the time period and put the kids in that place in that time?
Yeah. It's developmentally appropriate history, right? So it helps. It's not just reading a biography on George Washington, right? It's talking about what life was like when George Washington was growing up. So it helps kids really engage with that and they get interested in it and they think, oh, I would have gone to school for this many hours a day, and I would have come home and done this after school. It's really trying to connect kids with history, which is developmentally appropriate at that age. Okay?
All right, great. That's a great tip. So what's next for these slightly older kids?
Okay, so then your kids are done with the Goodnight series. They're done with the If You Lived series. They're a little bit older. I would say grades 3 to 8. All right, and obviously high school students can use these too. The Eyewitness series is fantastic. And we all know that we grew up with sets of encyclopedias in the house, right? Did you?
Yes, we did. Yeah. Mine were from like the 1950s, but I did. Yes.
Yeah. So we all grew up with those. And I bet a lot of our listeners have memories of just sort of like flipping through them at certain random points and like looking at things, everything. Now, think about this. Our kids are not growing up with any resource books in the house because what's
now
our resource?
Now I want to get them a set of encyclopedias. No. And you're going to complain when I do.
No, because what's a resource? A resource is our internet, right? That's what we use as our grand encyclopedia. So what I want you to do is I want you to replace that sort of resource, that sort of thematic resource about a topic with these eyewitness books. Kids love them, all right? Every page is chock full of images and pictures regarding a theme. The themes are on everything from American Revolution, baseball, basketball, Olympics, the desert, ponds and rivers, shipwrecks, trains, treasure, whales. I mean, it's not just animals. It's not just regions. It's not just history. They have a book on everything.
Can I tell you a funny story, Stephanie?
Okay.
My grandfather, who traveled a lot with my grandmother in their retired years, they went all over the world. He used to buy these.
Really?
For places he was going, because he always said, I don't want to read a 300 to 500 page historical book on some city that I'm going to. He would go out and get a children's book. And I remember him buying these eyewitness books and saying how good they were.
Yeah,
for
well,
just a
actually,
basic understanding.
I wasn't going to mention it, but actually they have, for older people, you know, for adults, they have an eyewitness series travel books for like all around the world and everything. It's a whole nother series. But these eyewitness books, every page has all of these pictures with captions. And so I'm telling you, teaching for over 10 years in an elementary setting, kids would just sit there and flip through these books over and over again. They were always a favorite. I really highly recommend that you get them for your older kids. Now, you know, I didn't put something else on here that I just want to mention real quick.
Bonus.
All right. I don't have the information in front of me, but if your child tends more towards the narrative structure, right? These are all sort of these more like nonfiction books. If your child tends to like more of chapter books, the diary series are super popular. And I'm going to be frank, they were more popular with girls than they were with boys in my classroom.
Because they were smarter.
But many boys like them too. It'll say the diary of Molly Sims, an Irish immigrant girl, right? So it's just basically historical fiction. And if you're going to any place with any sort of history, like Boston, you could find one of these books that centered on Boston at the time. The Gold Rush. You know, there's books for these kids. They're always centered on the life of a kid. And it's like the child is writing a diary of their life at that time. They're really – kids love them. And there are these 30-minute movies. They're a little hard to get your hands on, but if you can get them, there are these 30-minute movies of them that kids went wild for.
I think all of these things are a small investment and that they will really, really enrich your trip, enrich the trip for your children. So those were some great reading tips from Stephanie to help enrich your next trip. Now, Stephanie, are you ready for an RV travel tip from Progressive?
I am. How are they keeping us safer this week, Jeremy?
Well, let's find out. Why don't we, for goodness sake? RVFTA is always happy to present RV travel tips sponsored by Progressive Insurance. If you find yourself driving into a hailstorm, stop driving and pull to a safe place so hail doesn't break any windows. Driving compounds hail's impact on your RV. Stop under an underpass if one's available, and don't forget to pull out of traffic lanes and onto the shoulder to avoid collisions with other vehicles. Just another way Progressive has you covered while you're out on the road.
All right, we've never driven through hail, but now we know what to do. And
we do, and Progressive's got us covered.
They have us covered. Thanks, Progressive.
Thank you so much for listening to the show, and thank you so much to our sponsors, to Progressive Insurance, to Jellystone Parks, and to Good Sam and Go RVing. Great to have all of you on board. And also, head over to our forum and share some of your great ideas for thematic trips, right?
Yeah,
why not? We have
I'm
a forum.
Going to, yeah, give us quirky campgrounds.
Quirky campgrounds.
I want those. And I'll also put a thread into the podcast forum, and you can add any thematic trips that either you've taken or that you hope to take. We love hearing ideas from our listeners.
And we just love our listeners,
of
don't we?
We
listener
do.
Love.
They know that. That's why they tune in every
Thanks
week.
So much
All
for
right,
listening.
Everybody.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.